They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus prayed that we might be unified in his truth, standing firm in the faith and strong in his word. In a world questioning the credibility of God's word, Christ's prayer is for his church to stand firm in unity and his word. This is The Answers Conversation, and I'm your host, Steve Hamm. We'll be answering the skeptical questions of our time, standing firm on the authority of God's word, and rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, in our Hamm Nye debate series in Answers Conversation, I want to start with Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through to 20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. Again, we have Dr. Snelling with us. And in this Answers Conversation, we're going to be talking about his testimony as a scientist. One of the things that Bill Nye brought up and alluded to is really that the majority, particularly of scientists, do not believe in biblical creation, and that he particularly talked about scientific discoveries and also being able to predict things and not having the ability to do any of that as a creationist, a biblical creationist. What we wanted to do in this program is just talk to a real PhD scientist, the head of our research department at Answers in Genesis, and just particularly talk about his coming to Christ, his walk with Christ, and how that has helped him as a scientist in the area of geology. Welcome again, Dr.
Thanks,
Snelling.
Steve.
And it is a pleasure for me to talk to you about this particularly, because we understand that we come to know the real truth, that is the truth, the enlightened truth, through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you share with us something about how you came to know Christ?
Yes, I was born and raised in Sydney, Australia, and into a godly Christian home and a Bible-believing church family. And I always remember being in church. I mean, even as a five-year-old, I'd sit through the sermons. But that didn't make me a Christian. I mean, I had a lot of head knowledge. I learned in Sunday school. But it was when I was 8 years of age that I went off to a holiday camp. It was vacation time. It's a term break. And it was a week-long camp, and kids my own age and leaders who faithfully presented the gospel. And I remember very vividly on the last night of the camp, a very clear presentation was made, and it was very clear to me that I needed to get right with God and do something about it and follow through. And I remember kneeling at my bed with the leader beside me, and praying the prayer of repentance and asking the Lord Jesus to come into my heart and take over my life. And that was a clear change. It's not without coincidence that it was 12 months later we went on a family vacation to the island state of Australia called Tasmania. On the west coast are some large mines, historic copper gold mines. And through connections my parents had, we went on a visit through these mines and got into areas that most people didn't get to see. And I was attracted by all the shiny minerals and rocks, and I started picking up rocks. And I was hooked immediately. So it's not without coincidence that 12 months after a clear step of repentance and coming to faith in Jesus Christ, that God directed my steps to take up geology as a passion, so that by the time I was at high school, I was convinced I was going to be a geologist, much to everybody's chagrin. You didn't sort of make those decisions so early on in your high school career, But no, I was hooked, and I saw this as where the Lord want me to study. And of course, I immediately came up against this conflict because the scriptures were being faithfully taught in our church. Genesis as being literal history, and yet the textbooks that I was reading as I was going through high school were talking about millions of years and evolution. Mm. And so it was in my late teen years that my mother went to a Christian bookstore, and the bookstore owner said, "Your son needs this book, The Genesis Flood, by Drs. Whitcomb and Morris." And I can boast that my copy is older than the one that Ken Ham has.
Is that right? That's great.
But yes, but I was convinced straight away because I could see the consistency of the presentation, faithfully looking at the evidence in the light of God's word. It definitely, you can explain the flood from what you see in the geologic record. So by the time I got to university studies, I was convinced, one, that God's word was true, two, that we could understand the geologic evidence in the light of God's word, and three, that God was directing my paths not only into geology, but also for talking about these issues and helping other Christians to understand that they can trust God's word in this whole area of millions of years and evolution related to geology.
You know what? I actually, as you were going through, I was thinking, you know, listen to all of those different elements that were big in your life. Parents who were devoted
Correct.
To the Lord and Scripture, faithful teaching in your church from the very first verse in the Bible in Genesis, and faithful people who went on ministry to kids. You know, you were 8 years old doing that. And so that faithfulness, all of that faithfulness around you, God used to bring you to him.
Absolutely, Steve. And I firmly believe that we need to always remember that even if we feel insignificant, we never know how God is going to use us. We're meant to be faithful. And even sowing seeds in the lives of young kids, we never know what a harvest God is going to reap, how some of those kids are going to go on and affect thousands and thousands of people in the future.
Amen. Now, there would be some people who would say, "Oh, yeah, okay, well, this is just because you were brought up that way. That's the only reason that you're a Christian, because you're brought up a Christian. It's got, you know, you're just trying to be true to your upbringing, and you're not being true to science, or you're not being true to other things." So how would you deal with that type of question?
Well, I had to go through exactly the same schooling as everyone else. I had to go through the high school textbooks, millions of years of evolution, the university training, undergraduate training, postgraduate training, where I was doing actually my own research. And it was also, for me, therefore, being confronted with the evidence, looking at the measurable things and trying to figure out what they mean in terms of what happened in the past. And so, yes, I did have a Christian upbringing. Yes, I did have a Christian basis for looking at the evidence. But I was also always confronted with the alternate viewpoint, and therefore I had to always have a reason for what I believe and why, because of what I saw in the evidence. So I've been confronted this with all my life. I still have many questions that aren't answered, and neither do the evolutionists. And so it's not a matter of the evidence ultimately, it's a matter of what my starting points were, and I'm convinced absolutely that the scriptures are the correct starting point.
Now, that must have been particularly difficult when you were earning a PhD.
It was. In fact, when my supervisor found out what my faith position was, and he had a nominal Catholic background, he wasn't perturbed in one sense, but he warned me very carefully, very sincerely, that I needed to shut my mouth and not let people know, because if I wanted to get my PhD, I had to keep quiet about the issues. Well, I did, in the context of the university. I was very careful. If the issue came up, I still dealt with it privately with individuals, but it didn't stop me talking about it in my church situation and started writing about the issue even before I met Ken Ham.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the mid-70s, late 70s that I met Ken Ham. Already I'd been writing about these issues and talking to others about these issues. So, I have had to confront this. But interestingly, it hasn't lessened my expertise as a scientist. Even when I began in creation ministry over 30 years ago, when I had first worked before going into creation ministry with international mining companies, there was a project that I'd actually done my PhD research on that I was retained as a consultant to. And for 10 years, while I was working in creation ministry, I was still a research consultant to the Australian Nuclear Science and Technology Organisation in an international project funded by the US Department of Energy and the US Nuclear Regulatory Commission. And we were looking at a natural analogue of a nuclear waste disposal site. It involved British scientists, Japanese, Korean, Austrian, Swedish scientists, as well as Australian and American scientists. And I was the consultant, the geological consultant to that project, and was involved in looking at the evidence of what happens to uranium and other byproducts of radioactive decay, what happens to them in the ground naturally, because we wanted to compare that with what would happen if we buried the waste from a nuclear power plant.
So we're talking observational science there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And so my expertise was recognised as a genuine scientist who could look at the observational evidence and give help to those who needed it in this important research topic.
Tell me, have you really benefited by being a Christian, by being a Bible-believing Christian in the area of science and research?
Absolutely. I mean, we can make predictions based on God's word. For example, radiocarbon. If the fossils are millions of years old, they shouldn't have any radiocarbon in them. And as a Bible-believing creation, I say, no, that creationists know they're young, and therefore we should find radiocarbon in them, and we do. I have made a number of predictions like that and gone out and looked for the evidence and found that it does fit those, confirm those predictions.
So not only you've got so much confirming the biblical truth and your faith, you're writing about it, you're reporting on it, you're researching on it, you're seeing it in front of your face every day, but there are so many people that disagree with you and they're criticizing you as a scientist all the time, Dr. Snelling. How do you deal with that?
Well, I try not to take it personally. I look at it the fact that it's a spiritual issue. They're blinded by the God of this world so that they can't believe and or stop from believing the gospel. And so it's a case that I go on undeterred. They're not attacking me per se. They're attacking the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator himself.
Yeah.
And therefore, I have to just quietly stand my ground and go on doing the work that shows the positive confirmation of God's word.
Listen, I'd like to end with something. I would like to end by asking you if you would like to make a gospel plea to people listening as a scientist.
Absolutely, Steve. We all have a problem called sin. We're all in rebellion against God. We don't want him as our ruler, as our master. That was the problem that Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden. They disobeyed God. And the only way that we can settle this issue is to bow the knee to our Creator and accept his offer out of pure grace and mercy and love toward it. That just blows away my mind that the Creator of the universe himself came and stood in our place to take the penalty for our sins on the cross when Jesus Christ died for us. Not only that, because he was the Creator, he couldn't be held by death. He rose from the dead because he was the Creator of life. And he can offer us eternal life with him because he has conquered death, the last enemy. And so John 3:16 is correct. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that all who believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so I would plead with people, don't pass into eternity without settling this issue. Acknowledge God as your Creator, accept his offer of salvation, confess your rebellion, and ask and plead for his forgiveness, and God will forgive.
Amen. And with those words, I'll thank you so much for being on our program and encourage people to think about that very seriously. Thanks. If you want answers on this or any other subject, visit answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.